Welcome to the U-Turn Podcast. This is the place to connect to who you truly are. We're bringing PhDs, experts, and leaders to help you elevate your mindset in your work life and in your love life so that you can see things differently and truly love your world. I'm Ashley Stahl. I'm a career expert, author, and TEDx speechwriter and booker, and I'm excited to bring you in to this week's episode. U-turn friends, it's Ash here, and I have someone that I have been really wanting to have on the show today, and it's Ken Honda. He's the best-selling author of a book called Happy Money. His research and expertise identifies that there's two types of money flowing through our lives. There's happy money and there's unhappy money. And ultimately, it's really your choice which flow you want to be in. And that depends on the kind of relationship that you want to have with money. So Ken is going to share with us today how to become a money magnet. And we're going to talk about loving what you do and just how to really hone your desire to make money and feel connected to making money. So thank you so much, Ken, for being here with me.
Thank you, Ashley, and everyone. I'm so happy to be here.
I was taking a look at your book. And first of all, I love the cover that it looks like a happy face, happy money. And this book made such an impact, you know, national bestseller, Japan's best-selling lists. So I would love to just start with, like, what is it about money that got you into this body of work? What was it about your journey that got you focused on money in this way?
Thank you for asking. I've written more than, it's a big jar. Yeah. I've been writing, more than 70, 80 books and published more than 200 physical books in my last two decades of my career. And my career sort of started when I was six or seven, when my father, who was a successful tax accountant, started teaching me about money. So I have, I'd say, almost 50 years of expertise of witnessing people go up and down with money. And I've seen my father's clients, and I have seen my clients. I've started my business when I was 20. So I have so many years of experience of people getting so happy about money and also getting desperate for money. And then sometimes make them very happy and sometimes very unhappy.
Yeah. It's interesting for me is being an entrepreneur. I have learned more than ever that just because someone has a lot of money doesn't mean they're going to keep a lot of money.
Oh, true.
It's so true. So it's interesting because I think money, you know, people have said money's a magnifier. It makes you more you, for better or for worse. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, for anyone listening right now, you talk a lot about loving what you do. Mm-hmm. And I think that no matter how much you love what you do, there's always things about it you don't love doing. Mm-hmm. You can't love everything, right? So what would be your message around loving what you do as it relates to earning a good living, or how people can start to think about earning even more if mm-hmm. they love what they do?
Money is a very interesting thing. It's almost like a relationship. You know, you may love somebody, your partner, your girlfriend, boyfriend, or husband and wife. You may love her, him so much, but there's something about him or her that you don't really love about, you know, certain things, little things. And mm-hmm. sometimes it becomes big. And money is the same thing. And your vision and your true calling is the same thing. One of my friend who is a very well-known artist, she is a calligrapher and she paints. So she is in love with what she does and she makes a very good living, but she hates washing the brushes, washing, the palettes and all that. And she doesn't want her assistants to do it either because they don't do the perfect job. So as much as she loves painting, she hates cleaning up the clutter. But that is part of what she loves to do.
Right.
So if you love your husband or wife so much, but there's like 3% of what you don't like. And are you going to break up with her or him? Because there's some part that you don't like about him or her.
Probably. Some people will. That's the thing. Perfectionism.
Yes. So if you are 99% happy, I think you should be regarding yourself as a happy person. So I think of energy in terms of money, work. So whatever you do in everyday life, the energy around you, look at the energy around you. Is that a happy one or unhappy one? If the energy circulates through you, I think it's happy energy. And money is very much energy. So if you do what you love and then bring in the money, I call it happy money. If you hate what you do, or if you take advantage of other people and then get money, that is unhappy money. So you have to really watch out what kind of energy is floating in your life.
This episode is brought to you in part by Dose, all natural and organic wellness shots. With the holiday season and lots of holiday parties on the calendar, you might be drinking a little bit more than usual, which is why taking extra care of your liver right now is so important. I've been making it a priority to take Dose for my liver wellness and their shots every single day, and especially before going and taking a little drink out for the holiday festivities. With Dose, every single ingredient is really potent and they deliver results. And as someone who's studied herbs, it is just so inspiring to see what they're doing with their brand. So one shot of Dose for your liver is equivalent to 17 shots of turmeric juice. Dose has been clinically shown to support healthier liver enzyme function, ensures optimal liver functioning, and supports healthy metabolic function and digestion. Give your liver what it needs this holiday season. If you want to give Dose a shot and invest in your health, they're offering the U-Turn community 15% off your first order, plus another 15% off if you subscribe for monthly deliveries. That's 30% off your order. Head on over to dosedaily.co/U-Turn. That's dosedaily.co/U-Turn, Y-O-U-T-U-R-N. Use that U-Turn code for up to 30% off. Okay, so one question that I have about 15 years ago, and I've talked about this one other time on the podcast. I used a soundbite from YouTube when I was a new entrepreneur. I didn't know the laws about using music from YouTube on a course. And I sold a course with this music on it. It was a career course. It had nothing to do with the music. The artist of the music hired a lawyer, and the lawyer's job is to go all over the internet and find people using his music so that he can make money from people who are using his music. The way the lawyer does it is by being very threatening, telling you that they're going to sue you, that you owe them a huge amount of damages. I got one of the most terrifying messages in my email I've ever gotten, threatens for a lawsuit. And I felt like I did a huge crime when I accidentally used a soundbite from YouTube. So this ended up costing me $50,000. I ended up paying the artist, you know, $10,000 or something like that. And I took responsibility. I said, I'm so sorry. I had no idea. Let me pay the licensing fee or whatever for your music, even though I wasn't using the music anymore. Fast forward 5 years, the lawyer went through my whole business, because this is what he pays people to do. And he found that I missed a spot on one of my courses, and the music was just 10 seconds still there. And that cost me another $30,000.
What?
And just because the lawyer, you know, there's a whole business of, at least in America, I'm not sure what the system is in Japan for you, Ken, but here it's like, if they sue you, it costs more money to go to court, even if you're right, than it does to just pay them and not have to deal with it. Wow. So it's a very flawed legal system that we live in, even if I didn't do anything wrong. So I remember thinking about this person and thinking, what unhappy money. Like, I'm picturing this music artist just cashing these checks from these people that this lawyer has just attacked and scared and come at. I feel like a lot of people listening, they have families to support and they feel like there's no other way. They just need to make a living, earn a paycheck. And maybe it's a privilege for people like you or I to be enjoying how we make money. What would be your response to that?
Right. So I understand where you are. And of course, you can change it. It takes some time. I have so many students who turn their life around by just looking at what kind of money is floating in their life. And then they cannot change it 100% in one day. But you can change the flow of money in the course of a year or 2 years or 5 years. So you have to gradually start, you know, what you do, and just shift your job to more fulfilling one. If you're just involved in a low paying job, you have to start looking for a job that you can make a good use of yourself. So maybe you may be good at selling, you may be good at customer service, you may be good at connecting people. Whatever you do, you get paid more in a better situation. So instead of being desperate and stay hopeless, you have to start from somewhere. I have had so many witnesses and also testimonials that they have changed their lives from the bottom to a very comfortable one. So it takes some time, but all you need is curiosity. And also you can just start imagining what kind of life could be available for you. You know, you don't have to be there for the rest of your life.
I love what you're saying, because people really, they feel where they are so deeply that they forget that they don't have to stay there. So let's say somebody's listening right now and they're thinking to themselves, nobody's going to pay me more money. I don't have any skills, or, you know, I could make a change, but I don't even know where to begin. I know you talk about a state of amaro. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about achieving a state of maro, which is, I know it's short for mago koro. Is that correct? How I pronounce
it? Yes, you said it beautifully. Okay. That means sincerity. And my mentor, Wahei Takeda, used to say, if you have the right mind, you know, beautiful mind, people get attracted to you. And you have to have that in order to have a happy life. So it's more like a Zen to find peace in whatever you do. So if your life is miserable, you can change it by appreciating the small things that you have. One of my students, who was a low-paying secretary, she got paid very little because she didn't go to college. And so she was working as a secretary and single mom. And she was complaining about her situation. She says, I'm hopeless. I don't have a college degree. I'm not going anywhere. And my boss doesn't appreciate me. But I said, but isn't there anything that you can appreciate even a bit? And she started thinking. And then she said, oh, okay, my boss hired me, even though I didn't have a college degree. That's a great thing. Can you appreciate him for that? Yeah, that's true. And then she realized that she forgot to appreciate her boss, and she wrote a letter. And she started to say thank you more to him. So surprisingly, in a few weeks, she got a big check, a bonus, and also a big raise. By her appreciating him, her boss just forgot to appreciate her back. And then she realized that he needed to pay more respect to her. So as a result, she got paid more, she got promoted, and then she eventually quit the job and started her own company. So it's just almost like a commitment, your commitment to where you are. I used to have a client who said, when I'm in debt, I feel like I'm more powerful. you know, because I need to make money. So pay back all the debt. I feel like I'll lose my soul, is what he said, and literally what he said.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I think a lot of people probably feel this and don't even realize this. They're motivated by failure, or motivated by loss or stress. Yeah. So how do you undo that?
Yeah. So I just, I teased him like, are you going to lose your soul by paying back all the debt? And he was laughing. And by the time he really got it, like, that's so true. You know, I don't think I'm going to lose my soul if I just pay back all the debt. So after you pay back all the debt, who do you become? And he said, I don't know. I feel like so uneasy about the fact that I'm going to pay back all the debt. You know, it's like I'm out of prison. What am I going to do? So like we are stuck in the prison of limiting beliefs that we're small, we cannot do anything. As long as we're in this small prison, we don't have to start taking risks. Just start dreaming big and all that. When I started writing a book, I didn't think it would become an international bestseller, you know? And so my start was very humble. It was a self-published 26 pages of essays. I stapled it every day. That is the beginning of the, you know, almost 9 million copies of my sales. But it started out from my copier, you know, my printer. And then everything started from there. So let's say Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, they started from somewhere, you know, not so many years ago. It's not centuries ago. It's like 30, 40, 50 years ago. They started from zero and then they built on it. So, and then you don't have to be another Elon Musk, you know, in order to have a comfortable life, financially comfortable life, you don't have to be a billionaire. So all you have to do is find what you're good at, find what's fulfilling you, and then start doing more. And then you probably get noticed from your boss, from your colleagues, and from your clients. Oh, wow, you can do this. And then you'll be probably surprised, like, oh, I didn't know I can do it. But unless you do it, you never know that you're capable of doing something like that.
U-turn friends, do not let this holiday season get in the way of your health. I know it can be challenging, but that's why this episode is brought to you in part by Joy. Joy is the place where women can find answers, own their health, and really start to feel like themselves again. With all the celebrations and the holidays coming up, it can be really hard to prioritize your health. And that's why I've come to absolutely love Joy. They offer personalized plans with board-certified clinicians in a convenient and very stress-free way. All the appointments are virtual, so no in-person trips to the doctor's office are necessary. Plus, the solutions are totally formulated for you. This is not the fad diet we're all used to. Instead, you can achieve real lasting results to support your metabolic health with Joy's metabolic health treatments that are customized for your desired outcome and weight wellness. So if you're looking to take ownership over your health in this way and really feel your best, Joy is giving you 20% off your lab work. All you have to do is go to choosejoy.co/U-turn and browse their curated section of very comprehensive labs. These are unlike anything I would get from a regular doctor's visit. That's choosejoy.co/YOUTURN and get 20% off your labs. Choose Joy because you deserve to feel like you. Hey, U-turn friends, it's Ash here, and I've got to admit, my closet has been incredibly crammed with a lot of clothes, but nothing to wear. The solution? I decided to donate a ton of them and turn to Quince. They are the upgrade for high-quality, affordable pieces. Now I have a wardrobe of luxury essentials that transition from one occasion to the next. And the best part? I stayed on budget. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. So by partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I just love them. I recently got the Italian pebbled leather crossbody bag, and it is the perfect size for a purse when I'm out on a date night, traveling light, or just don't want anything bulky weighing me down. I really love what they're doing. Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/U-turn for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/YOUTURN to get free shipping and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/U-turn.
It's like confidence. You have to try things on and show yourself that you can do them just based on that little part of you that thinks you can do them, to show yourself who you really can be. Mm-hmm. I know that this state of Maro, this spiritually selfless state, the opposite of ego. Mm-hmm. I know in Japanese, it's this idea of the humanity and the universe are all one. Mm-hmm. And when your Maro goes up, you become more magnetic. So you talk about pouring yourself into things you love. So for example, for me, I worked for Barack Obama when I was younger.
Wow. And
I worked with some of his speech writers, and I always loved writing. And when I started a business, I always remembered thinking, I am so much more of a poet than I am a businesswoman. But I almost have to play the business game to go be a poet. I had this belief that I need to build a business in order for people to want to read my writing. And eventually I got my book deal, and the book has been doing really well. But what I'm curious about is I've been releasing new offers for the first time in my career in a really long time. It's probably been like 7 years since I've released something. And I've been writing TED Talks, you know, TEDx Talks, and helping people get booked on stage for TED. And it's a high-end offer, and it's been so interesting for me because I've never sold anything this pricey. And I'm noticing that I have a lot of happiness for it. Like, I'm really excited to write people's speeches. I have a lot of experience. Most of the talks I've written have gone viral. But a lot of the people who are coming in, and I've only just gotten started a month or two ago, are like, wow, I really want to do this. Oh, let me get back to you in a few months. I'm not ready to buy it. So I know there's a lot of people where maybe they feel like me, where they're like, oh, I really want to do this, and I'm amazing at this, and I'm pouring my energy into it. I'm doing phone calls. I'm going on podcasts because I know it's a very specific audience that wants to buy, you know, a high-end speech-written TED Talk from me. I know there's a lot of people that have their own version of this. They found the thing they love. They're putting it out there like a musician maybe, and they feel like nobody's listening. They feel like it's always a no, and it's like, it's happy money, but they're not, it's hard to get paid or something like that. What would you say to the person who puts it out there, but they don't really feel like people are paying them or people are interested in what they're offering?
You know, at the beginning stage, you discover a lot of disappointments. I am teaching, actually I'm going to teach a writer seminar from like 30 minutes from now, you know, after, right after this. I always teach the road to a best-selling author is paved with a lot of disappointments and self-criticism and societal thoughts, and you know, because you don't always feel good about yourself. Like when I look at the path, my path, like 80% was covered with more negative feelings, you know, and then maybe like 1% or 10%. Wow, I'm so happy. And then like a lot of self-criticism, self-doubt and all that. And then I just make a joke about new authors getting crucified in the store of Amazon, you know, on the hill of Amazon. We get crucified because that's how we were gonna end up, you know. They stab us without knowing, you know, that we cannot fight back, right? A lot of disappointments, and then it takes time. When I published my book, I had the vision of selling 1 million copies. And nothing happened. Was that an illusion? Was I daydreaming about my success? And it took me 16 years to, you know, to reach that 1 million figure, you know, with the book. And it takes time.
So it's like you believe in it, which is some sort of manifestation as well. So in these disappointments, because I feel like, you know, for lack of a better term, for me being an author, it's like you kind of eat shit to get there sometimes. Like, so how do we keep the state of Mauro, of like this spiritually selfless, heart-centered, egoless state of just pouring ourselves into something we love? Because at a certain point, you kind of feel stupid. You're like, I am just doing this all the time. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to people right now that they're like, I want to be a musician, or I want to be a, you know, an artist, or, and I'm, this is where I'm happiest and this is where I'm best. Because not everybody is talented right. at where they're happy. That's a whole other thing. Mm-hmm. What would be your feedback in those moments where they're like, how do I stay happy about earning in this way when it's not working?
Mm-hmm. So the most important thing is you can offer your best from your heart. And then you may not be confident. You may have doubts about it, but you can still offer something, the best something from you. And that is your heart. And that is something you can do for the world. And you can keep doing it. But another aspect is that you have to start figuring out if this is your seat. You know, you have to check your seat. The seat number could be wrong. You know, I think there's a right seat for you, but we tend to want to sit down on other people's seat. So sometimes you have to know, well, where you belong. You have to find your tribe. I think the tragedy of our lives is often we get mingled with the wrong crowd. So we get mixed up with the wrong people. But if you know, if you can smell people, you know, that you can smell the same one, that, and then you know you're in the right tribe. So you have to just keep sniffing around and then have to find where you are. And because where you belong, people will welcome you. People will appreciate you. People will love you. People will eat you up because they so badly wanted your kind of material. So if you go to a place where nobody wants you, you feel bad about yourself. But if you just go to the right place, people will so welcome you.
I almost feel like people sometimes forget how big the world is. Like, we're always told that it's a small world, but it's so big too. There's other crowds everywhere. And so your message just to keep trying. Okay, so you talk about possessing in your book in Happy Money, you talk about possessing a huge desire to make money. So you talk about, you know, people who love money are money magnets, and they believe that they deserve it. So they believe it's possible. They believe that it's, you know, they're worthy of it. So I imagine people who maybe they're hanging around the wrong crowd, or they're sitting in the wrong seat, and they're doing something they're passionate about, but it's not supposed to be their path, right? And they're in that process. They start to probably think, I'm not worthy of this kind of money. That's just not for me. I'm not supposed to do well. I don't deserve it. I'm not smart as the other people who are doing well. How do you start to stay away from fear when you start to think about money? Or the fear of losing money disrupts their flow. I actually made $5 million in 2 months on an online course, and I lost all my money because I hired a bunch of lawyers to look at everything, because I almost didn't feel like I was allowed to be making that kind of money. So I remember thinking, I need to get some lawyers. Am I allowed to be this successful? I ended up sabotaging my whole business. So years later, I'm very different with money now. But for people who don't believe they deserve it, can you talk a little bit about how do we shift that for ourselves?
It takes time, because that's why I suggest people to get wealthy slowly. You know, otherwise, there's a saying in Japanese, fast money has fast feet. That means like when money comes in fast, it just leaves very fast. So like my mentor, Wahei Takeda, made millions by selling cookies for babies. So he makes only a cent per or maybe less per just, you know, little candy. And so he makes little money from each sale, but mm-hmm. he sells millions of small packages for babies. So that's why he made fortune. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people think they make a killing with a cryptocurrency or like trading and, you know, sketchy businesses. They think they can make a lot of money in the shortest possible time. But that kind of money tends to get lost very easily.
Mm.
So you have to watch out the energy of money too. The fast, busy money also goes somewhere else too, fast too.
Mm. Sometimes people have wins, right? Like, how do you decide what fast and easy even means? Like, you could take somebody like me, where mm-hmm. I have years where I'm like a pot on the stove. It's like a little simmer, but I have this business, and then there's years where I get these big pops, these big opportunities, and they're life changing for me. And I think that's probably similar for you, having written all these books. You invite opportunities in that maybe you never thought about. So you probably, you know, have had those years where it's like, whoa, that's a lot of money that just came my way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I hope for anybody listening. So how do you know when it's fast money versus like you've been working towards this for a while? Because sometimes people think like, whoa, this just came out of nowhere. And it's like, no, it didn't. You've been working on this.
Right. Yeah. So there's a word, overnight success.
Yeah.
For that night. For some people, like 20 years of night.
Yeah.
So how do you measure by that? You know, fast money is something like it comes so suddenly and then you get a shock, like a lottery money.
Yeah. It,
the money you don't deserve will just disappear.
Mm.
So that's why I came up with the concept, money container. You know, everyone is born with a certain size money container. And it can grow gradually, but it doesn't grow overnight.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you want to be wealthy, you have to start building up this money container.
Mm.
So you can have more money in the container. Mm. And then we are born with a certain size. You know, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Warren Buffett, they are born with a huge container. But mm-hmm. for the rest of us, we are not equipped with that kind of capability, because mm-hmm. It's just energy, you know. Some people are born with a better voice, you know, better body, you know, that who can run or lift heavy stuff. So we are made differently. So you have to accept the fact that we are different.
Mm. Mm.
But if you want to have more money if you want to invite more money into your life, you have to change the way you think. A lot of people are stuck with a working mentality, you know, workers. Mm. So you get paid by working certain hours. You know, so doctors and lawyers are the same. You work hard, you get the money. Mm. But a lot of happy, wealthy people think very differently. So you have to start thinking differently from where you are.
Okay, I love this. I know that. You talk about different inherited money wounds mm-hmm. that prevent people from achieving greater financial well-being and how to move, you know, past those. So I know that one of them is that you believe your security is tied to how much money you have.
Right.
And a lot of people feel that, like, they're scared of being homeless or like, you know, I don't know, like these very real fears, like they're not going to be able to support their kids and put food on the table. So what would be your feedback for someone listening who they do feel like their security is tied to how much money they have?
Right. And it's yes, to some extent. But I think it's because, especially in North America, things are more scary from my eyes. You know, I've traveled all over the world. And U.S. Is very abundant country. But at the same time, there are a lot of fear around for survival. Because like the other day, I went to a dentist and it cost me only like $9, you know.
Mm.
And an American dental office, can you walk out with a bill paying only $9?
know? Yeah.
Maybe you can buy a dental floss or something, right? And so, and everything is insured. So I, the medical bill is something like $25, sometimes $8. You know, I mean, in North America, even if you're insured, you have to pay so much. So to some country, there's a fear for survival. Like in Japan or in Northern Europe countries, they feel safe because the government supports you, you know. And also there is a support system. Like in many Latin cultures and Asian cultures, we have a stronger family ties. So if something happens, we are generous to each other as a whole. And then we support each other. When your brothers and sisters sick or unemployed, the whole relatives take care of it. Whole village takes care of it. But in North America, it's so cut off. Like you don't even ask money from your relatives, you know, from your brothers and sisters. People are so independent. It has some good and bad.
Well, I love what you're saying because you're really opening us up to the possibility, not just of the belief that your security is tied to how much money you have, but the importance of geography and where you live. Because I think that, I don't know, a lot of people, they grew up wherever they grew up and they have this belief that that's where they have to be.
Right.
And maybe there's like, you know, you got to figure out a visa or you need to figure out your passport. My dad is Jewish and he had family that died in the Holocaust. Oh. And I just recently found out that I can get a passport from Germany as an apology for my family members that were killed.
Wow.
So I just think there's, I know that Italy has like a retirement visa where if you have $40,000 in your bank account, you can live there. There's certain stipulations. So I think you're pointing out something even bigger than just your mindset with money, but your relationship with where do you want to live? Where's going to make you feel the best? Like I wrote my book when I was living in Bali and my rent was $200 a month. Mm-hmm. It was a different life. Okay. So the second belief that you think people inherit that you mentioned or wound is the idea that you really need to work hard, really hard. To make money. What do you have to say around that? Because I think growing up in the United States, especially like work hard, play hard, that's the thing.
Right. So if you are born into the culture, you never know what you got. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. So if you want, you can check it. You know, I've seen the world and then I'm just fascinated by how people think. Like in Japan, I often get asked when I explain about the money container. In North America and Europe, people ask me, "Hey, how can I make my money container bigger and faster?" Yeah. That's what you know, bigger, faster. And in Japan, I am often asked by people, "Ken, I understand about the money container idea, but how can I satisfy with my income?" Oh, how can I satisfy more with what I have? So the approach is different, even though you hear the same thing. So you got to pay attention to the pattern of how you think. Sometimes in life, more is not better. But if you are in a Western culture, it's almost like religion, more is better. And if you experience a life in Bali, you know what I'm talking about, right? I'm not promoting a minimalist idea, but still sometimes more may not be necessarily better. And if you understand that, you know, you want to know how much you want to possess too. Because if you have so much, there's more hassle. And so if you can enjoy the little thing you have, it may be... you may find it less complicated.
I love that. Okay. And then the third thing, which I think is very common, especially as we watch movies, is the belief that money is evil or it creates drama. And I think this wound that people inherit is interesting because I feel like the entertainment industry really solidifies that. I don't know if you saw the show that was really big in the United States, Succession, all about... You haven't seen it. It's all like family drama around institutional wealth. Like one of those families, like I'm forgetting who the, it's based off of a real family, but like incredible wealth, and everybody's way, you know, navigating the dad dying so that they can manage the money and the, inherit the company business.
Mm-hmm.
So we see a lot of drama and entertainment around money. How does somebody clear that belief or that wound?
Don't worry about it, because we're not Rockefellers to begin with, you know, and then our dramas are smaller and less dramatic than that, right? And but still, we are influenced by dramatic impact of money. So if you just start watching how you are affected by money, and then if you want to have a different impact, yeah, you can let it be the other way you want. Because money can definitely affect you. But if you just choose not to, you don't need to be affected as much. Because if you are, even if you're born into a Rockefeller family, if you don't want the money, you can leave the family, right? So one of my friends who was born into a very wealthy family, but he refused to take any of the money and became an artist. And he is not a super successful artist, but he's happy with where he is. I think he found the right balance in him. Mm-hmm. So you can choose your life.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose money stressful life, or you can choose money stress-free life.
Mm. So what would be, of all the principles you talk about in Happy Money, you know, you talk a lot about living a stress-free with Happy Money principles. What would be one or two of the principles that you would want to make sure everybody's listening to us now would remember?
So we tend to feel a lot of stress when we receive money and also when we spend money, either way. So when we receive money, we feel like excitement, and at the same time, the stress, like, oh, this is not enough to pay all the bills, right? So I hope you appreciate money coming in next time. I suggest arigato your money, thank your money, or danke your money, or shei your money, or mo your money. You know, when money comes in next time, either online or cash or a check, you say thank you for the money to come in. And money also pay bills and also pay taxes and everything, or pay at the cashier at the restaurant or store, you can also say thank you. The service, thank you for that. Thank you for the electricity, and thank you for the food. And if you just appreciate both money coming in and going out, you enjoy the cycle of money. And when we come to think of it, we are in the cycle of things. You know, we eat food, we drink water, and then we release. So if you just make money and then hold on to the money, or try to hold on to that money, it's almost like you eat as much as you want, but you refuse to the bathroom. I'm not going to release any of that I took. You could do it maybe for a day, but it's not healthy if you have all the food in your system and then refuse to release.
Mm.
In fact, I have found that stingy people are suffering more from constipation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's very interesting, because they don't want to release money.
Wow. They're just constipated body, constipated bank account, all constipation.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fascinating.
At the end of the workday, the last thing I want to do is grocery shop and sometimes cook dinner, which is why I've really come to appreciate Factor meals. Eating better has never been so easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. There's no mess, no prep, just clear meals. Factor meals are ready to heat, ready to eat. There's no prepping, cooking, or cleanup as needed. That's something I can get behind. Sign up and save. I've done the math, and Factor meals are less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian approved to be nutritious and delicious. So head on over to factormeals.com/U-turn50 and use the code U-turn50 to get 50% off. That's code U-turn, YOUTURN50 at factormeals.com/U-turn50 to get 50% off. Now let's get back into this week's episode.
Okay, so a couple questions. Just comments. I was reading through Happy Money.
Yes.
And I saw that you ask a few really powerful questions I want to share for everybody before we go. Mm-hmm. You talked about like the impactful question whenever something happens in your life of, can I change this? Or do I need to stop fighting against it and accept it? Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about this? Because I think a lot of people, they really believe where they are, they can't change it. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, that's not the truth. Mm-hmm. So how can we start to get people who are listening to see things differently and realize where you are? If you don't like it, most likely you don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. Yes, sometimes you need to accept things as they are, but can you help people kind of think about that a little bit?
So, you know, when we were five, dad and mom or our home is a whole thing we see. When we are 12, like our kids, buddies, you know, friends are all we saw. In high school, in college, you know, like college dorm friends are all you see. But in the world, we just begin to see things in a different way. As a bigger, we tend to get to see the whole picture. But still, we are so royal to our way of life. And so I think the best way for you is to start reading blogs for people who started from where you are and then change their lives. They may have started from being a single mom, but because of the chain of events, they found where they are now after 5 years. So if you start reading people's real stories, I think you can see, maybe I thought I was stuck, but maybe I'm stuck temporarily. Mm-hmm. And then this may change. So if you get curious about your future, your life will definitely change. So I was very curious about my life when I was 33. What if I started sharing my stories? What if I just start selling books? What if I become a national bestseller selling author? What if I become an international bestselling author? And then my dreams kept getting bigger. And then as I didn't have any confidence, but I was more curious about doing things and see what happens next. So I'm experiencing the same process as you are, the same path of following my curiosity and following what's going to happen next.
Hmm. I love this. And I know that another question that you ask people in your work, beyond like, are you willing to accept something or can you change it? I love your advice of reading stories of people who have been where you are. That's so powerful. Mm-hmm. And it feels straightforward. And I just wouldn't have thought to say that, but it's so true. Another question you ask is, when you encounter something you want to change, how willing are you to see it through? Mm-hmm. So it's like a lot of people want to look like they go to the gym, but they don't want to go to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have to share about, I don't know, intention and willingness and commitment? Because I find that true devotion, I don't always come by it every day with people.
Right. So unfortunately, only 20% change, mm-hmm. 80% stay the same. And I've been teaching for the past 20 years, and I have been very curious how people change. But in fact, only a few percentage of people change. So I'm just talking to the people who are willing to change. You know, mm-hmm. I cannot, you know, make horses to drink the water from the river. You know, I can just take them, or I can say, there's a river over there. If you're thirsty, you can go over there. It's a free drink. You know, I can say as much as that. But if you are willing, you can go there. But if you are not interested or you're not ready, that's okay. I understand that. But you may want to go there. When you want to go there, just get curious about where you want to go. Because, you know, if you try to discipline yourself, it doesn't work.
I love everything you're saying. And those of you who are listening and you want to read more, head on over to anywhere books are sold. It's called Happy Money, The Japanese Art of Making Peace with Your Money. Ken, if people want to keep learning from you, where would you suggest that they begin beyond your book?
So you can find a lot of YouTube videos of me. Mind Valley offers Mind EQ course with me. And I have a lot of free content on Ken Honda, K-E-N, Honda as in a car, kenhonda.com. We started the Arigato Living Community, which is about a few hundred people gathering every month to learn about what happy money is and how to follow your heart, how to monetize your gifts and all that. So I teach once a month for English speaking community. It's very interesting. I do it with so much fun. Sometimes for American time, you know, North, Central, and South American time. Sometimes I do it for European, African time. Well, and sometimes for Australian, Japan, Asia time. And I'm so fascinated by the difference, different ideas of the people, but we are just sharing the same dream of just living a more appreciative life.
Well, thank you again for coming on. And I love the peaceful energy that you have. And I guess my final question, you talked about your book and you said you wanted to sell millions of copies. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like you knew that day would come, or did you just hope that day would come?
I had the strong feeling that it's going to happen. Uh-huh. So I was super disappointed it didn't happen for the first 2 years. Like, what was my vision? So, right. So I understand your frustration, but you have to have patience. Mm-hmm. And I think that is what we don't have. You know, we can't even stay focused because of these guys. You know, we can stay focused only for 15 seconds for TikTok, mm-hmm. YouTube Shorts. You know, we can't even watch 10-minute videos. So I'm so happy that whoever watching this Ashley show, you guys had a great attention span, you know, for more than 30 minutes, which is amazing. So I appreciate you for taking the time too.
Thank you. Thanks again. And remember, everyone, sometimes you're in the front of the bus, sometimes you're in the back of the bus. Just stay on the bus.
So true. And I so enjoyed chatting with you, Ashley.
You too.
You're so beautiful.
Thank you.
I understand why you're so passionate and why you're so popular, you know, all the people. So I really appreciate you. And I'm just sending you all my happy energy. And
I love that.
And all the happy blessings for you and the viewers and listeners. So thank you so much.
Thank you again. Thank you so much for tuning into the U-Turn podcast. And thank you again so much for our sponsors. We are here because of you. And to our listeners, thank you for checking out our sponsors. We always pick people and brands that we trust and we believe in. And just for listening to the show, writing your reviews on the Apple app, and just being willing to make your own U-turns. We'll see you next week.
This episode is brought to you by the Yap Media Podcast Network. I'm Hala Taha, CEO of the award-winning digital media empire, Yap Media, and host of Yap Young and Profiting Podcast, a number one entrepreneurship and self-improvement podcast where you can listen, learn, and profit. On Young and Profiting Podcast, I interview the brightest minds in the world, and I turn their wisdom into actionable advice that you can use in your daily life. Each week, we dive into a new topic like the art of side hustles, how to level up your influence and persuasion, and goal setting. I interview A-list guests on Young and Profiting. I've got the best guests, like the world's number one negotiation expert, Chris Voss, Shark Damon John, serial entrepreneurs Alex and Layla Hormozi, and even movie stars like Matthew McConaughey. There's absolutely no fluff on my podcast, and that's on purpose. Every episode is jam-packed with advice that's going to push your life forward. I do my research, I get straight to the point, and I take things really seriously, which is why I'm known as the podcast princess and how I became one of the top podcasters in the world in less than 5 years. Young and Profiting podcast is for all ages. Don't let the name fool you. It's an advanced show. As long as you want to learn and level up, you will be forever young. So join podcast royalty and subscribe to Young and Profiting podcast, or YAP, like it's often called by my YAP fam, on Apple, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you listen to your podcasts.